Welcome to the Danny Carlson Podcast, your resource for growing the business and mindset for a life of unrestricted freedom. Now here's your host, online marketing acrobat, Danny Carlson.
What is up, guys? This is the Danny Carlson Podcast, and we have Mr. Gavin Dantes here at this beautiful villa. If you're watching on video, you can see in the background, crazy pool, and there's a whole another like two or three terraces down that way and another two up that way or so. It's basically on an entire hillside with a river down at the bottom there.
It's pretty epic, man. I'm lucky that we found this place because it's kind of like being in the jungle, but then close to everything else, like close to all the action. But if I live in over there, that's just like too much. So I need that peace. So yeah, it's beautiful here.
Totally. And then you and a few other people live here, right? Who do you live here in this massive, crazy mansion with?
So I got this villa a year ago with my business partner, Ari. And then we didn't rent it out to anybody else, but then we have like now Jason Campbell here, one of the head salespeople at Mind Valley, just unbelievable guy. And then we have our friend Michaela living in another one. So there's actually four villas, but we just wanted to have the other two for the first like 6 to 8 months just to like give to people when they came to Bali. So we just let our friends stay here.
Heck yeah. And then when it comes to lifestyle in Bali, I mean, there was a couple nights ago, there was a massive party here with, you know, all of this crazy stuff going on. There's like a couple different DJs going and lights and all the pools and everything like that. What kind of lifestyle are you really trying to build here in Bali?
Man, it's when I first got this villa, I imagined it being looking like Avatar Land, you know, with the pink lights in the trees and all this like, this almost like fantasy vibe. So we put that together for the last two parties here. Each one, and then the second one got a little bit crazier than the first one. We wanted to bring together all these different like high level entrepreneurs and creatives and people just living different types of lives and bring them all together in one place where they can just kind of let go and just like fully remove any mask and just be whoever they want. And the connections that come from that type of thing versus like, hand out your business cards at a business meeting. It's a completely different game. So I really started to understand that years ago when I would go to different festivals and different places and realize the connections that came out of that and then the business partnerships that form, because when the connections form first through energy and then, but you're also just cultivating all these people in the first place, it's just so much more powerful. So that was our goal out of this.
Yeah, and I know that you're someone who really puts a lot of attention into personal growth and really just excelling at everything that you do in life. Mm-hmm. I mean, you built a company around that a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious, what are you currently working on, like things that you have committed to becoming better at, and how are you working on those things?
Man, that's so powerful. Like each area of life, I've realized that you can just get so good at anything if you just hire the right people. Or, you know, if you just go find the person who has what you want and then you just ask them, hey, can you help me get there? It's just like the amount of people who just live their life through trial and error and then it takes them till 50 years old to get to the same results that it takes someone like 3 weeks, you know? It just blows my mind. It's like someone else has gone through that whole path. So why am I going to like go and try to learn everything on my own? I think that's ego thinking that we can just do everything on our own. So in each area of my life that I want to get better at, like right now with the splits with Yulia, I'm like, I'm going to go to this person who's like already mastered this, and then I'm going to get there. And then in like 6 weeks, I'm almost at the splits versus it took me like 8 years of trying stuff on my own, not having enough willpower, not staying consistent. So yeah, each area of my life that I'm trying to do that. And stretching is one of those right now. But yeah, man, I believe if you want something, like don't do it half-assed. You know, mm-hmm. What's the point of that? What's the point of kind of doing something? To me, that's just like, I can't understand that mindset.
Yeah, I've always had the same mindset. Like, if I get into something, I am all in on that. I'd rather just go be obsessed with one thing and instead of dabbling in five other things. And yeah. I love so many different things. I love, you know, skiing, mountain biking, and all these incredible fun things. But at the end of the day, I cannot progress at standing acrobatics is what I'm really obsessed with right now. Yeah. I cannot really progress and get better at that and see the satisfaction in seeing how good I can get at that and how far I can push it unless I really commit myself to that.
Totally, man. And I do believe, like, at least we can get really good at multiple things. This was when I started to read the 4-Hour Work Week and then the 4-Hour Chef and then the 4-Hour Body, like all these books by Tim Ferriss. where he was talking about accelerated learning from guys like Josh Waitzkin and these people who had like mastered the art of learning. And then I just started to see, oh my God, in like 6 months, he like went to the world championships of tango dancing, you know? And then there was all of these things that he had gotten to such a high level where everyone's like, no, it takes 10,000 hours to get to a certain level. And he just started to hack what learning actually is. So then I started to look at that and be like, wow, like this like is something I want to become obsessed with. I want to be a master of learning how to learn and learning how to learn how to learn, which is called generative learning. And because of going and mastering that skill, which is probably the number one skill that they should teach in school, which they don't teach at all. They teach rote learning, which is just memorization, regurgitation for the most part. There's a little bit more than that. But overall, they're not teaching any generative learning. So nobody is going out there after school and is this adaptable learning machine. And they can't just like get whatever they want. They can't do whatever they want. It's a very slow process of learning. And to me, I hate to do things slow. Now, I still have patience. I realize there's always a gestation period. You don't plant a seed and it sprouts the next day. There's a process. But I don't have the patience to do things like the dumb way. Like to do things a way that is just going to make me learn slower when I could do it faster. There's still going to be a process, but I would rather take the faster route.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it took me way too many years to really come to that same conclusion, to be honest. Yeah. For example, in longboarding, I was a longboard racer for 10 years. And for my first 4 years longboarding, I wasn't really surrounding myself with people who were much better than me that could really push me. And to be honest, my technique was really bad because I just, you know, the examples around me, also the technique was bad.
Totally.
But then I moved to Vancouver, like one of the hotbeds in the world for downhill skateboarding. Mm. And pretty soon, one of my regular riding buddies was a guy named Kevin Reimer. He's a like 8-time world champion or something like that.
Yeah.
And I learned more in 1 year riding with Kevin Reimer than I learned in the previous 4 years just like riding with other people or just by myself. It is really incredible what surrounding yourself with someone who like is the best at what they do, how much of that you can just soak up and just cut the learning curve in half, or in my case, like definitely more than half.
Man, it's, to me, the knowledge is already there now. Like, we already know that if you go to the person who's at the highest level and you surround yourself by those types of people, you're going to automatically start to act and behave like them. This is like our mirror neurons in our brains make us act and behave like the people we surround ourselves with. That's why, like, you have your accent, I have my accent. We didn't try to have it, we just picked it up automatically because of who we surrounded ourselves with. And for some reason, people don't realize that's the same thing with learning. It's the same thing with like who we spend our time with in terms of business, fitness, whatever. We start to pick up their actions and behaviors automatically. And then I started to like look into the fact that back in the day, let's say you were an emperor, you would try to like hide a lot of the knowledge, you know? It was hard to get the knowledge as like a slave. So if like someone was like taught or caught like teaching like something like the trivium, which is a way to find truth, they would get punished for like teaching the slaves this knowledge, because if they taught the slaves this knowledge, then they would have a free mind and they wouldn't just follow directions anymore. Now we're living in this time where the information is all fully accessible, but still most people are living the more slave mentality. And this comes from what's called ignorance, like ignore ants. There's a difference between ignorance and what's called nescience. Nescience is when you don't know what you don't know. You don't even know the information is there. Ignorance is when all the information is there and you choose to ignore it. So now anyone going through the education system and with all this information online on the internet is being ignorant to the fact that there's way better knowledge and information for them to learn than going through this education system that's literally teaching you how to be a robotic thinker. I'm not saying all the information there is bad, but how it's taught is very bad, because no one's taught how to think for themselves. So they're taught how to just follow directions and do the thing and then be put into a system and then become a battery to feed that system. So now we're getting in this position where there are people who are learning what we're talking about here. They can learn whatever the hell they want super fast, become a multimillionaire, have great health, have great relationships, travel around the world, do whatever the hell they want. And that's possible for anybody watching this if they choose to go find those people who are doing it so they can teach them the right knowledge. Or they can be ignorant to that and then say, oh no, I'm just going to work this like 9-to-5, minimum wage job for however long, which is probably going to be gone through automation anytime soon. And it's just, man, it's getting crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. And we're both products of that. But I think that presents a new problem, which is now that information is easily accessible and just so abundant, now we have the problem of what do I actually focus on? Because it is possible to completely overwhelm the shit out of yourself with five different things and then accomplish nothing, right? Because now it's kind of flipped on its head. Information is abundant and focus and attention is scarce.
Yeah, and this is where learning about yourself is so important. So there's two things that I go through with this with people. The first is creating your perfect day. So 8 years ago, I wrote out 8 pages specifically of what I wanted my ideal day in the life to look like. So if I had to live the same day over and over and over again, and I didn't get bored, you know, what would that day look like? So when I wrote that out, this is like so specific of how I want my health to be, who I want to surround myself with, what type of business do I want, where would I live, all those things. And then removing all like social conditioning from that. So not like I want this because other people want me to want it. It's like if I feel into my gut and meditate on it, what do I really want? And then now I can really start to like understand more what my values are. You know, what is it that I truly care about? What are my priorities? So now I have that. Then I can start to decode, okay, now what are my strengths, gifts, talents, and things that can allow me to get that? What are the things that I need to do to get that? And then I start, okay, well, if I want to live there, well, I'm going to need to learn how this internet marketing thing works. That's inevitable. I have to learn that. I'm going to have to learn X, X, and X, and X. And then I'm going to go and I'm going to find out what are my strengths. Okay, I'm going to take the Strength Finders 2.0 test. Okay, what's my personality? Oh, I'm going to take 16 personalities, Hexaco, DISC. I'm going to just really decode myself so I can align who I am and what my strengths and gifts and talents are with that vision. So now I can really narrow down the information, knowledge, and skills I need. It's like an architect makes the blueprint, and then you reverse engineer what you need to get that blueprint. So now you're not as confused about what knowledge and information you need, whereas if you have no idea what you want and you have no idea who you are, how the fuck do you know how to do anything? Everything's random. Mm. So that makes it a lot simpler.
I love that exercise. And for people who want to do this for themselves, is this something that you would sit down with a journal and a pen and paper and just like visualize this? Like, what is the process?
I'll explain meditation. Yeah, I'll explain this. So the perfect day is asking, it's writing a movie script of that perfect day. So it's like visualizing it like that. I like to explain it like your mind is like a search engine, like Google for goals. If you type in just like 10K a month on Google, you're going to get all this random stuff. But if you type in, like, imagine you type in your entire perfect day into your search engine, well, now your brain is going to, like, see this entire movie. You're going to be able to formulate something. You're going to get a much more specific result from that. If I say I want to make 10K a month, I can make it doing something I don't want at a job, I don't want to work, whatever. It's too compartmentalized. When you paint this whole movie in your mind of what you want, now you can see in each area how you can bring it all together. So now you're living, like, the have-it-all life. Like, you can really paint whatever the hell you want. So in that perfect day, from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed, so it's like I wake up, my eyes open, I see the beach, I see it, and this was like my perfect day. How it smelled, how it felt, who I was around, what my conversations were like, what the people I surrounded myself were like, what I was doing for my passion, what I was doing for contribution, what was I doing in the evening, how was I going to sleep, like everything. 6 pages, like, so super detailed. It could have been even more. So you're writing out a movie script so your mind can be so attuned to it perfectly. Not like kind of. The more you attune your mind to exactly what you want and the more you dominate your mind with that, the better. But most goal setting is always taught like, I want to make this certain amount of money. I want a six pack. It's so like basic that it's hard for someone to really know what to do for that. But when you really bring it all together, you can actually create it because you can just reverse engineer. And since we live in a universe that has like extremely precise laws, like governing everything that's happening, it's why this can drop every time. It's not just going to float, you know. It's all cause and effect. So then you can pull all of this like quantum imagination into the present moment and then just use the laws of cause and effect to reverse engineer exactly how to get it. And it can be actually very simple.
Yeah, and let's go really deep here for a second. So I think a lot of people, they set their goals based on their insecurities, right? So like, I want the six pack because I don't feel good about myself the way I am and my body the way I am. Or I want 10K a month because, you know, I feel ashamed that I can't afford this and my friends can or something like that, right? Do you think that it's necessarily a bad thing to be framing your goals from a place of insecurity, or do you think that that's okay?
I think you should have both. Like, so much of my drive, I could pretend all day it's all, like, desire and want. and not scarcity, but that'd be complete bullshit. I'm terrified of going back to a 9-to-5 job. Like, that scares the hell out of me. It drives me, you know? If I didn't have that, I wouldn't work half as hard, you know? Like, I would just be like, fuck it. Like, I'll just go back to a job. But no, that, like, the feeling that I would have on Sunday evening and Monday morning going back to, like, a 9-to-5 killed me. Like, it sucked. It was like, oh, there's just no way I could go back to that. So that means I got to keep learning. That means I got to keep studying. That means I got to keep up with the trends. It means I got to keep figuring out what's going on here so I don't just, like, crash and burn with my businesses, like, you know? Like, so it's super important. But I definitely believe you should be, like, living out of inspiration more than desperation. If you're only living out of desperation, you're probably going to make a lot of really dumb decisions, and you're probably going to, like, not be the best business owner, and you're probably not going to care as much about your customers, and you're probably not going to care as much about, like, making impact in the world. You're probably just going to be doing anything just so you can get, like, short-term money. And to me, that's not a very good place to come from in business. Business should be about value. It should be like, how can I give as much value to this type of person? And then how can I multiply that using the internet? And how can I always give more value than what I'm receiving in return? Because money is intrinsically has no value. It's just paper. It's a lubrication between real value forms. It doesn't have any value except for the value we put on it, which means if I can really go and I can find out what's intrinsically valuable to other human beings, and then give them that and show them that their money is worth a lot less than this value to their life, what it's going to give to their experience of life, then I can just make such an impact in these people's lives for less than what they're giving me, you know? And then you multiply that. It just seems like such a simple equation, but that comes from inspiration, not desperation. Mm. Desperation comes where it's like, how can I sell that person, you know? You know, you see this all the time on people. They're just trying to sell, 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 and selling's great, but you want to be, like, seductive when you sell, meaning you want someone to really love the process, that you want them to thank you for the process, not feel like after, oh my God, I got sold, you know? You don't want to feel like they got used or abused in a process, and that's what a lot of salespeople do. They trick somebody into buying, or they, you know, manipulate them into buying, and by the end of the process, that person feels like they got taken advantage of. Instead, you want them to say thank you, and then you want them to say to their friends, you have to talk to this person. You know, completely different game.
Yeah, and I love that you embrace the duality of it too, because so many people will say that, oh, you just need to make all your decisions from inspiration and love and all of those kind of things, completely ignoring the side of fear that we all have as human beings, right?
Oh yeah.
And that was a big realization for myself in the past few years, is that I am actually primarily driven by fear, like my one biggest fear that has driven most of what I've done in my entire life is what I call rocking chair regret. That's reaching that rocking chair when I'm 85 years old and I'm, you know, physically disabled or something like that, and just regretting all of the things that I wanted to do that I didn't actually do, that I didn't have the courage to do, or I didn't actually go and follow through with. And for me, that's a huge driver, but I can see that as a positive driver, even though that it's a fear. It's coming from a place of fear, but, like, that fear has driven most of the beautiful things that I've created in my life.
Absolutely, man. And this comes down to, like, the Parkinson's law. It's like the closer we get to, like, the test at the end of the week, the more we study for it, you know, in school. So we're always, like, putting things off till the last minute to then do them. And that's how most people live life. You know, they put it off until retirement, and it's like, now I'm going to go surf the world. You know, it doesn't make any sense. So you got to flip the equation, and then you got to put a lot of that fear and pressure. Mike Vestile actually had a moment about this where he was at the Tony Robbins event, and Tony said to the crowd, I want you to imagine yourself on your deathbed, and I want you to imagine all the dreams still locked inside you that you never experienced, all the things you never did, all the contributions you never made, all the blah, 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 blah. And then I want you to let out a scream of the feeling that that's going to feel like that. And then these 10,000 people all screaming, crying, like feeling like that pressure.
Powerful.
And then Mike made a decision then. He's like, I'm going to create a 30 years old death line, not deadline, like a death line. It's like, if I were to die at 30, like, how would I live my life? You know? So then he, like, flipped everything in his life. He's like, I only have 10 years left. I better start fucking living. Whereas if someone thinks they have till 80, they're like, oh, I have all this time. It's like, you just don't. Because every day you're getting older. You know, you don't just have time. So people like let go of their health. So by the time they're 40, they're unhealthy. Their back's giving them issues. They're getting disease. They're getting all this stuff. It's like you can't live like that. You have to live right now through that inspiration, because that inspiration is going to make you healthier. It's going to make you want to work out. It's going to make you have better relationships, which is the thing that's going to make you the happiest. You're going to make more money because you're healthier and you're sharper. You're going to want to learn more and faster. Like, you're just going to want to actually use your time now to experience the world as the highest level you can, the most actualized version of yourself you can. And then by the time you're like getting older, you're feeling like emptied almost, you know, you've like emptied your gifts and everything to the world. You've given so much. And then when we're gonna be dying, of course you're still gonna want to live, at least for me, but you're gonna really felt like you gave it all, you know. So to me, yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think that I will ever regret the things that I tried and failed at. I think I'm only gonna regret the things that I didn't try that I really wanted to try. And I know that's a really hard thing for people to take action on in their lives, right? Mm-hmm. I get it. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of insecurity behind just starting something new. So I'm curious to hear what you recommend for people that they have this burning desire in them to go start a new business, to go like start getting in shape or whatever it is that's their big demon.
Yeah.
Like what would you say to someone like that who just has not been able to punch through to the other side of that fear?
Well, there's two things. There's a book by Susan Jeffers called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyways. So fucking good. And in it, she says, if you knew you could overcome any challenge, what more would you have to fear? So if you knew you could overcome any challenge, what more would you have to fear? Mm-hmm. For me in my life, because of the fact that I've like taken so much action in so many areas, I've experienced the lowest I could go in almost every area. So now like the fear is like so gone in those areas. It's like, what can I really experience is going to be that bad anymore? Of course, there's still more, but it's like I've been on the stage of like 100 in front of 150 people, just bombed my speech like the worst you could imagine. You know, I've felt like what that feeling is, like people's worst nightmare dream. And I felt that in so many areas, whether it's like getting evicted from my apartment, like all these like moments of just pure embarrassment, shame, all that, which I really believe people's biggest fear by far has nothing to do with them, and it has all to do with what other people are going to think of them. It's that feeling of like, I failed and everyone looks at me like I'm a failure. You know, it's, we really get taught that in school. Like, you got an F, or you got it, and people are like so ashamed. So I think that's like people's biggest fear. And it comes down to their identity. And this is where the next part comes in, where I was listening to Wyatt Woodsmall, one of the top NLP teachers, and people would come to him and say, like, Wyatt, can you help me in my life? And he'd be like, yeah, I can help you. What do you want? They'd be like, great, you're going to help me. He's like, what do you want? They'd say, oh, great, awesome, you're going to help me. I just want this. He's like, perfect. If you want that, all you have to do is this, this, and this. It's very simple. They're like, I can't do that. He's like, well, why not? They'd be like, because that wouldn't be me. And he's like, yeah, of course. That's what change is about. Becoming not you. If you want something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done. You have to become not you. So I was like, oh shit. And then he started going to the mindset of, you have to become systematically outrageous, he called it. Which it means if you keep just doing the same patterns and being the same person, even the smallest difference makes you feel uncomfortable. So at least today, if someone is like that, I'm not saying dive in like Grant Cardone 10x and just completely change everything right now and just be a completely different person. But I am saying, if you haven't ever taken a yoga class and you think yoga is like weird or something, go take a yoga class. You know, if you haven't ever like gone for a run in 2 years, go take a little jog. And every day start to do something that you're not used to doing. Take yourself a little bit out of your comfort zone and just get used to doing that. And over time, you'll just be this person who can do whatever they want. But if you just think out of nowhere, I'm just going to go chase my dreams, but I'm this identity and all my friends think that's who I am and all my parents, as soon as you step outside of that, they start saying, hey, you're acting a little weird today. What's going on? You know, and then you get pulled back into that like magnetic middle that you're used to. So each day, if you just do a little thing, people are like, oh, that's a little bit weird, but they don't really say anything. And then you keep doing it. And over time, you just become this person who does whatever they want. And then that becomes your identity to them. So to me, like my friends can't really box me into anything. I do too many different things. I'm systematically outrageous. So now I'm completely free to be free because my identity is free, you know, if that makes sense.
Oh, I love that term, systematically outrageous. And for me, I think with this, the 80-20 of this really comes down to having that identity with yourself, that you are the type of person that goes out there and does things they're uncomfortable with on a regular basis. And you are the type of person that does something that they know is going to be beneficial for them, but they don't want to do in the moment, and just systematically, routinely doing that and flexing that muscle, so to speak. And personally, there's a few things that I make sure that I do every single day. Like I go to the gym every single day, and I do at least one workout that I really don't want to do. Like sometimes I do handstands, and that's fun and everything, but I hate doing squats. Yeah. I hate doing deadlift. You know, that's like every fiber of my being does not want to do that thing, but then I have to do it, right? Yeah. And then after that, I go straight into the sauna for 10 minutes. And the second 5 minutes of that is really difficult, and I don't want to be in there. It's the last place I want to be. And then I go straight into the ice bath for 3 minutes. And I can tell you the ice bath is not very comfortable either.
No.
But I know that those three things in a row are training. They're flexing that muscle of doing the things that I don't want to do. And that reinforces that identity as someone who can push through those things. And I have that identity about myself. And so I don't really care as much about what other people think about me, because I think this about me.
Yeah. And you're focused also on truth more than you are about just generalities of people's opinion. So there's a big difference. Like you know what this does to your body. You know how it feels. Someone's opinion doesn't matter. And again, I really believe it comes down more to people's opinions of others than anything else. Because we're not who we think we are. We're who we think you think I think you think I think I am. You know, it's like goes really deep, this feedback loop. And then if you really look at most people, they're not living from a core of who they've found out they are. And we'll never fully know who we are, but we can peel back layers to find deeper layers of who we are. If we're living as like more of a reactive robot based off of other people's opinions, well, that means we're a different person at our job. We're a different person around our family. We're a different person around our girlfriend. We're a different person around the guys we drink beers with, you know? So everyone, we just wear this mask because it's who they think we are, you know? So that ends up becoming our identity, and we become this chameleon in life, and we never live from any core. So we never have power. We only have like minor power within those groups of people. So you can never live as who you want to be. You live who they think you are. And that's, to me, is like the biggest controller of most people's lives. And this, you just can look at it in society. How do you think everybody acts and behaves the same in a culture, right? They all act and behave the same because they learn through story, metaphor, and analogy, and just modeling everybody else. They never think for themselves. They just do, because we actually are wired as a tribal being to be like everybody else. It kept us alive for so many thousands of generations. It was a very good mechanism, but now it's hurting most people, because now the ones who are breaking free are seeing truth, and they're living however the hell they want with unlimited amounts of incredible knowledge and information, and then others are just following like sheep. And that used to work, but it doesn't work anymore. It's going to have most people having no money, no jobs, being automated away, you know, like not keeping up with the times, not seeing where things are going. There's this amazing study on this about social proof. And these people went up and down this street, and they would go and ask people what their hydro bill was to see how much they're paying. And then they would tell them they were either like way above or way below like what the average was. And then they came back 2 weeks or a month later and asked again. And the people who had a higher bill now lowered their energy. The people who had a lower bill started spending more. Because everyone wants to find that magnetic middle. They don't want to stand out. They're too scared to stand out. And this is how most people live. So when you find truth versus what everybody thinks, then everything changes. Elon Musk says, everyone learns through metaphor, analogy, story. It's one of the biggest problems of humanity. He's like, you got to reason from base level physics up. Just reason from physics. Is that the truth or is it not? Oh, it's the truth. Oh, okay, well then I can build this rocket ship and go to the moon, you know? I see that that's going to be possible because the latest technology is going to build the latest technology. I see where it's going. He's not thinking in terms of, I'm going to calculate what happened in the past to base my future. That doesn't make any sense, but that's what people do. They calculate who they are right now and who they used to be. They make a calculation and project themselves linear of where they're going to be. But if you project yourself exponentially of where you're going to be, you can now access like the quantum, which is just the imagination, create that version of yourself in your mind, pull that version of yourself into the now, and start to do that over and over so you act and behave like that future version of yourself now. Totally different game.
Yeah, and I think you're starting to get into it here, but what do you think, in your experience, are the most effective practices, techniques, or anything you've come across for peeling back those layers and not just reacting to, you know, whatever other people think of you or just being a chameleon and other people, but really finding out who you are and who you want to express yourself as the most? Because that's a big process, right? It's not like some people have it figured out and some people don't. It's just a continuous
thing. It's never ending. This is one of the things some people don't want to hear, actually. I had this conversation with a mentee last night. I'm going to say it anyways, but if, like, imagine in the Matrix, imagine when Morpheus sat Neo down, because Neo represented the neocortex, and, you know, Morpheus was the truth, right? So it's the truth speaking to our higher thinking. And imagine if the truth was speaking to our higher thinking, and before we got into this entrepreneurial journey, literally showed, like, all of the hell that we would have to go through. Imagine if that's what we were told. It would be like, holy fuck, I don't want to go there, you know? But instead, it's like he speaks and mind reads the experience he's going through. He knows there's something wrong with the world. Like, it's like a splinter in your mind driving you mad. You know you want to find the truth, and you know you don't want to go back to where it was. All I'm offering you is the truth, meaning it's not going to be pleasant, but I'm also not going to share with you exactly what you're going to see there, because if I do, you're going to run, you know? Mm. So it's like, if I were to tell people the amount of layers that I've gone through in the last, like, 8 years, the amount of failure, the amount of fuck-ups, the amount of things that I would have never wanted to go through, and if I knew I would have had to, I might have never gone. I don't know. Maybe I still would have, but it was way worse than I could have ever imagined. But because of how bad it was, it's who you become in the process that becomes the real prize. So it's never, I always used to think it was going to be that material goal, or it was going to be living on the beach, or it was going to be... None of that shit matters to me at all almost anymore. It's like who you became. It's that level of awareness, the level of consciousness, the level of connection, the level of depth of relationships you have with people, the level of understanding yourself. All of this is so much more fucking valuable than any, like, dollar amount or freedom, like that surface level freedom. So when somebody is first starting out, if they were to just look at every, like, top movie ever created, it's always about loss and redemption, you know, whether it's like Rocky 1 or Rocky, like, 5,000, you know, these movies, it all comes down to this person having this dream, trying to, like, go after it, getting knocked down to the, like, very bottom, getting back up, maybe getting knocked down even worse again, getting back up, trying to fight for that championship, fight for that dream, find the elixir, whatever it is. Finally reaching that, maybe winning or losing, but at the end of the movie, all we're sitting there is we're just, like, so proud of this person, of who they became. And it had nothing to do, we don't care about the title anymore. None of that stuff matters. And then it's who they became, and it's how everyone around them is like, oh, wow, you know, and now they're inspiring them to be better. And, like, so if someone can realize who they become in the process is going to be what's going to allow them to inspire their family, be able to support their family. If someone dies around them, they're going to be the one person strong enough to be able to take care of people. They can see truly beyond just, like, the selfish need of what the thing's going to do for them and what it's going to impact everyone around them. It changes everything.
Yeah, man. And I love what you said too about, like, for me personally, if I had known 4 years ago what I would have gone through to build the businesses that I have today,
yeah,
I can't for sure say that myself back then would have still made the choice to go do it.
Totally.
You know, like, it's a crazy discussion. And the last podcast interview, the last episode, was a guy named Julian who he told the story of overnight his net worth going from 120 million euro to negative 20 million euro and then having to raise 300K by next Monday to pay his credit card bill. And, like, that's a scenario that would just crush most people mentally, but he went through that, and his answer to that question, would you still have started the company 10 years ago if you'd known what you would have gone through? He had to really think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately he said yes, but he had to sit there and, like, contemplate that for a second, because, like, the amount of stuff that you will go through personally, like, and be forced to work on yourself and your own insecurities by going through this process of transformation in any area of your life, right, is pretty intense. But what do you think about what comes on the other side of that? Like, to me, that is the greatest part of the entire journey, is the person that you become on the other side of all that hardship.
That's like, I don't know. It's when you become this person, it's what can that person now do? Again, it's who are you now to your friends and family? It's like, who are you now as a person who can contribute more to the world, add more value, give more of your gifts? All of that is what allows you to do that. If you look at Elon, anyone who has made it to these levels, it's because of what they overcame. It's not because they just read books and then automatically got it. It's like, of course you read books, of course you study, of course you do these things, but it's who you become along that whole journey that's that actual prize that we're all going for. But we don't necessarily think about that when we're in it. We think about, like, again, lying on the beach or like having this like freedom. And then when you get to those levels, like, I think it's so boring to lie on the beach. I couldn't imagine like retiring and doing nothing. That to me is like another version of hell, you know, like just sitting around doing nothing. I'm just like, no, you know, I want to use my gifts and talents that I've created to help other people. You know, it's if someone, let's say I just had a business now that's like doing like 100 million a year or something. I would just want to be taking any time that I have to help other people in whatever way I can, that it was going to better the world in some way, you know. As your values stack on top of each other, you start to see more of like the ecology of the world, and you start to see more of the complexity, and you start to have the skills to do something about it. Whereas before, or if you're just like let's say a hippie who doesn't have any business skills, you might talk shit about the government, but you have no skills to do anything about it, you know? So you've never created an ecosystem or a business or a structure to like make impact. You just complain. And there's a big difference. There's people who are at like the, you know, societal level that kind of just believe in the government and believe in whatever, and this is where most people stay. And then there are people who break free like us, who go for like kind of success for self, and we're trying to like build something so we can break free. And then you go beyond that where you're like, okay, now how can I take these skills so I can benefit the world more? But then you're still not really there because you don't really understand how complex it is. And then you start to see how complex it actually is, and you go back to success for self, creating a business that's impacting, but you're still not necessarily doing it with a collaborative effort. And then you realize, damn, now I'm going to go find all the other people who are doing that and collaborate with them, and let's make fucking massive global impact, right? So you have to go through all of those processes, and one of those is breaking free from like just the norm and going off on your own and trying to gain success in business, which is really fucking hard. Like, it's 90 or 97% or something of businesses fail over 10 years, you know? It's fucking hard. If it were easy, everyone would do it. However, we have mentors now. We have people you can go learn from. You have all this knowledge and wisdom. You can find out more of what you want to be doing, what your gifts and talents are. Most of us as entrepreneurs are very creative, at least for me. I'm very creative, but I'm very unorganized. I'm very unstructured, which means I need very structured, organized people to work with me, or I won't get anything done. For somebody who's more of that, who wants to be an entrepreneur, well, you're going to need to find a very like intelligent creative to partner with, or else you're just going to try to systematize everything but really not know how to create something like a real brand, something like of magic almost, right? So we have to just understand ourselves, man. The game's not easy, but it's so damn worth it.
No, absolutely. And what advice would you give to someone who, they know they want to go start their own business, they know they want to do something for themselves and create that life for themselves, but they just don't know which business to start, right? There's so many different options. And like we said earlier, there's the abundance of information out there and just too many things to choose. What would you say to someone like that? It's just kind of like paralyzed by decision fatigue.
Yeah, man. Well, this is actually something that I'm building out right now, because what I'm realizing is people come online and basically like the first YouTube, you know, celebrity or YouTube like entrepreneur or whatever, they start following them, they start binge watching their videos, and then they might buy their like $2,000 course or something. And then maybe it's on Amazon, maybe it's on Shopify, maybe it's on social media agency, maybe it's on building a personal brand, maybe it's on being a coach, whatever. So they find this person, and then they just go right into the first thing that they see, or they just get information overload and have no idea what to do and take no action. One of those situations is going to happen. Either way, this person is going to be like how I was, so damn confused. So I went through so many years of testing all these things, which is not necessarily a horrible thing, but if I had a mentor or someone who could, again, take me through these personality tests, start to find out where I'm going to fit in best, you can already have a better idea. So if I'm a highly introverted person, I have no interest really in making that much of a positive impact. I'm just giving an example. I don't really want to teach. Like, I don't want to be in front of camera. Okay, well, now I can see like something like Amazon or like Kindle Publishing or, you know, these different business models where you don't have to be in front at all. The business has nothing to do with you. You can also sell it because it has nothing to do with you. These business models make a lot more sense to that type of person. If I'm like so passionate about coaching and teaching and helping people and I'm a fitness trainer and I'm a whatever, it's like, okay, well, now I'm already starting to understand if I build my personal brand around health and wellness and I start to like coach and teach people and then do group coaching and maybe create a digital product, that makes a lot more sense than going behind my computer screen all day doing Amazon. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to start to understand ourselves before we start to say, I'm just going to go into this direction. And a lot of that isn't happening. So I'm trying to build out this platform right now, which is really helping people decode what that is and what direction to go in. So people on the front end take this test and at least be pointed in a direction that's more likely to have them succeed. Because I see it all the time. People just say, oh, just model success. I'm like, if you just tell everyone to model Gary Vee, 98% of them will fail. Because there's only maybe 2% that are anywhere close to a Gary Vee. Maybe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be Gary Vee. He's a savage. Same with a Grant Cardone. Like, just model them doesn't make sense. Listening to a lot of what they say can, but modeling them as like a personality, you're just not going to be able to do it. So we have to find out who we are, and then we have to go find out other people who are similar to us, who are similar to our situation, personality and strengths, all that, and where we were, and then find out how they did what they did. And try to hire these people. They have a blueprint for you, for your coding. Not for like, don't be Gary Vee if you're not Gary Vee. If you're highly introverted and you have no interest in being in front of the camera, don't learn from Gary Vee on how to build your online business. If you're maybe like, if you already know someone who's doing the Amazon and is highly introverted, do that, then learn from them.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And What would you say, like, percentage-wise of just throwing caution to the wind or almost, like, naivety a little bit is really required to get some momentum? Because there's always going to be a big percentage of people who just will not make that decision because they just don't have everything lined up perfectly and they can't see the projections of 6 months I'll be here, 12 months I'll be here, 5 years I'll be here. There's just so much uncertainty when you're doing something like that, right? Do you think that really there's just a certain level of, like, almost naive, just let's just do it and see what happens?
Man, like, I so much of the time wish I was more naive, you know? And I'm super naive when it comes down to business over the years. Like, I just took action. I bought courses. I bought the books. I just, like, dove in on almost everything because I just had an inevitability mindset. As soon as I wrote out that perfect day, I'm like, I'm going to figure it out no matter what. I wish sometimes I had less and sometimes I had more, because sometimes that drove me into being evicted and sometimes that drove me into building multi-million-dollar business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's both sides of it. So yeah, of course, it's like, it's super important to be able to get to this point where you can take action, because I remember learning from this guy on YouTube when I was in network marketing. This is one of the first things I did in business. And he taught how to like go to the mall and like prospect people, you know? And when I watched the video and like listened to what he was saying, I was like, oh, I can do that. And for some reason, my brain like never registered that this was not normal. This is just what people do. So I went to the mall in like a suit with an iPad, and I was walking in and out of these stores, and I was like, who's the best salesperson here? And like, this is like illegal, first off, like going into stores, stealing people's salespeople. No idea that that is at the time. And then I'm like, you, come here. Someone would like raise their hand because they're like a very competitive people. Oh, I'm the best. I'm like, you, come here. I'd like talk with them for a second. I get him to qualify himself to me, and then I'd be like, listen, you're the type of person that's good with keeping appointments, right? And they'd be like, yeah, I never miss appointments. I'm like, perfect, because I only like to work with people who are really, like, always on time. Like, I'm always on time. So they did this huge identity commitment, and then I get, like, 9 out of 10 people showing up, where before I would have, like, 3 out of 10 when I was just doing it, like, with warm traffic. It was, like, insane change for me. Like, this is possible. But then by, like, the end of, like, a couple days doing this, was one person just fucking kicked me out so hard. It was like, what you're doing is so illegal, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, oh, I got this feeling like, oh, shit. And then I never did it again, right?
Hmm.
Because, and then I started, like, look up, like, oh, my God, like, what was I doing, you know? But because I was so naive, I went and did it. And I ended up getting, like, 25 appointments or something insane before I, so when you are naive to things, you take action. Because you don't know what you don't know, especially if you're just listening to someone blindly. This is also the bad thing with school, though. This is what we're doing in school. We're like just like, because it looks safe, because everyone else is doing it, we take action and we go get a degree and we go do the thing. But we never ask ourselves, what's that going to cause in our life long term? So if people were to look at, oh, I'm scared to take action in business, or I don't know the unknown unknowns, I'm like, well, also look at that path too. Like, look at the normal path too, and start to weigh out the equation. And I like to do the pros and cons, put it down the line. What are the pros of doing an online business, and what are the cons? And then what are the pros of, like, going and getting a degree, and what are the cons? And, like, really start to weigh out these options, like, in a more logical way. The unknown with the online business, yeah, you might fail for a while. You might lose some money. You might this, you might that. Write all those down. What are the pros? I could have a business that's, I work on my terms. I can not have any glass ceilings. I can work the hours that I want. I can live where I want. You know, start to stack those. Then what is the other side? It's like, okay, I can have maybe a stable income, but also maybe not. You know, the cons are that job could get automated. The jobs, it's going to keep going down as inflation rises. You're going to have less and less money. You're probably going to have to take a second job, maybe a third job. And this is what's really happening, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to really weigh these out. Then it gives you a lot more, like, faith in doing this, because it's who you're going to become in the process. It's the adaptable person you're going to be. Over 5-6 years of this, it's almost guaranteed you're going to be able to make money on command. If you do that, if you really go in and learn the psychology and learn the marketing and learn the selling, build the network. Now I'm, like, so safe, more not just because of my skills and my skill set, but because of my network that I've built over the years. If anything ever happens, I'm just going to message a friend and say, listen, I need to, like, work with you for a while. And they're just going to bring me on board because I know I'm going to help them bring results, right? So, yeah, man, I think people just have to – you have to have some level of naivete, but you also just have to realize the riskier thing to do now is to not do it.
Totally, because that's the only thing that's certain, is that if you keep doing what you've always done,
yeah,
you're just going to keep working that job you really hate. You're going to keep
being, as inflation rises,
like,
as things go lower, it's super risky.
Right? Like, it's almost always, it stays the same or it gets worse. It's very rare you just keep doing the same thing, and a big opportunity is going to present itself, and you're going to be able to capitalize on it. Like, it's just not going to happen. The way those opportunities present themselves is by you creating those opportunities for themselves and positioning yourself in a way where you can capitalize on them, right? It's not just by doing the same thing you've been doing every single day.
Yeah, there's that quote or something. It's like, when preparation meets opportunity, you know? You're preparing yourself by gaining all the skills, so by the time this new trend hits, you're already there. You know, this is why some people, when a certain trend hits, the people are like, oh, how'd that person just explode? It's like they've been preparing for that. You know, these companies who, a company doesn't come out of nowhere and like bridge the gap between two other companies, not ever have done something before that. So usually the person who's building one of these big companies had already tried so many other things. They've already failed or succeeded at multiple things before they finally hit their big winner. Like, people think entrepreneurship is like this one idea and then you just build it. It's like almost never works that way. Almost never. It's almost always someone who's like gone through multiple cycles to finally see what they've done wrong and what they need to do right. And now they can build the right thing. So if you come at it at that mindset, you just know it's going to be inevitable that you're going to succeed if you just start taking action towards it. And I'm not saying just do the same thing over and over again expecting a different result, but take action towards it and then adapt along the way. Like the most, what is it, Darwin? It's like, it's not the strongest or fastest, the most adaptable to change. That is who you need to be, the most adaptable to change, because it's changing faster and faster every single year, and it's going to keep going, and it's not going to stop.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was a past podcast guest. He launched an app. He was about to launch his app on the iPad store back when iPhone was like brand new, and it wasn't nearly as big as it is today.
Yeah.
And his team, they were just about to upload their app to the iPad, the iStore, or whatever it's called back then. And he noticed a button too. It's like, also, do you also want to release this on iPhone, for iPhone? And he's like, so he asked his team, like, well, should we press this button? Should we do it? And they're like, oh, no, do that. And like, it won't work. It's just not going to work. And he's just like, well, just do it. Like, he wasn't a developer. He didn't really know the technical side of things. And so they did it. And lo and behold, their app already by default works on iPhone as well. And within the first 2 weeks of that app launch, they sold like $250,000 worth of that app on iPhone. So if he wasn't completely naive, like if he had a development background and actually knew what he was doing, he would have been like, no, that's not going to work. It's like, but he was naive. And so he's just like, okay, just let's try it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. This comes back to that quote. If you knew you could overcome any challenge, what more would you have to fear? And I just, if someone could really think about that, like, we are not living in these old tribal times where you're really scared of the saber-toothed tiger jumping out, you know, or you're scared to say like the wrong thing and go against the tribe because you're going to get banished. That's the feeling that someone gets on stage. These are all deep layer evolutionarily wired and biologically wired emotions and processes that we're going through. When you're on stage and someone is booing you, that's a feeling of death, of banishment at a biological, evolutionarily wired level. So all these feelings are real, but you have to be able to decipher which one is actually real and which one isn't. The feeling is real, but are the consequences as real as they used to be? And if they aren't, then you have to ask yourself, okay, well, how can I reframe and rewire the feeling that I have? Because that feeling is not what I think it is. So then that allows you to, again, if I knew I could overcome any challenge, what more would I have to fear? Okay, well, I know I can go on stage in front of 2,000, 10,000, however many people, and I can not do the best in my speech. And the worst thing that's going to happen is I didn't do the best at my speech, you know? And maybe people say, ah, he didn't do very good at his speech. Okay, cool. Most of you would never even get on stage. You know, you're already losing in the first place. Now, the average person won't even take the action. What's worse, going up and trying and making a mistake, or never actually playing the game in the first place and just sitting in the sidelines? So
true. Let that sink in for a second there. That is some heavy shit, if you really think about it.
It's very heavy. So I want to be on the field. I want to be one of the people on the field. In soccer, I might score in my own net one time, which happens to almost every professional player at one point. You're going to do something where you're going to, you know, get nutmegged, get embarrassed. Something's going to happen. People will laugh at you for a week and okay. And then there's going to be another time where you score the freaking hat trick and win the freaking championship, you know? But with none of the you have to play to go for the glory, you know? It's impossible to just sit there and avoid all risk and ever get the glory. It doesn't work that way. So the people who sit on the sidelines, who make fun of everybody, it's like looking yourself in the mirror and say, I don't even play.
Yeah, well, and what's better? What a life that is flat line and there's no highs and there's fewer lows. Sure, it's more secure and safe. Or experiencing the entire range of human emotions, right? And like personally, I would much rather take the lows along with the highs than live that flat line life, because I've lived that. I was a carpenter for 6 years, and that job sucked the soul out of me. And, like, you know, I there was periods where my life felt very flat line, and, you know, sure, it was safer, but any day I'm going to take the highs and the lows instead of the flat line.
Dan, if we only have one life, and I'm not a reincarnation person, I more think just our genes get passed forward and mixed with other genes, and all that coding comes together and creates a brand new freaking being. So if we only have one life, let's say, man, living it flatlined, like, that is living dead. Like, I don't see any life in that. There's no life behind being a reactive robot. You don't even get to experience the life because you're not even aware of it. So there's that the famous philosophers would say, like, the unexamined life isn't worth living. And I truly believe in this. Like, but what does it mean to examine your life? What does it mean to develop yourself? What does it mean to self-actualize or self-hack your own mind or self reflect and, like, look at what you're doing? And then adapting and becoming better based off of the data that you're getting, and then becoming more aware of everything around. What a gift. We have these, like, these supercomputer brains that have been gifted to us. To not use those and, like, test them and flex them, to me, is, like, such a disgrace. It's such a, like, fuck you to God for giving it to you, you know? It's like, that to me, like, how could you do that? It's so disrespectful. Like, that's how I see it.
Oh, I agree, man. But man, I could talk here all day on this stuff with you. I know we could go back and forth on this stuff forever. We both think a lot about this stuff.
Hell yeah.
If people want to learn more about what you do or reach out to you online, where's the best place for them to do so?
So people can just find me, Gavin Dantez with a Z at the end. So Dantez on all social media platforms, or GavinDantez.com. And then we also have the Limitless Masterclass, which is just my course on, you're really laying the foundation and framework for living that limitless life. And when I say a limitless life, it's like even like Ty Lopez, health, wealth, love, happiness, spirituality. How can you just design your life this perfect day, design who you are, and actually create it? And I started to realize over the years, it's not about reading like I did, like 500 books in this shortest period of time. It was about finding the most important principles, and through the, you know, consistent repetition of proven principles, you will get the results you want. So I spent way too much time learning way too many things instead of focusing on what are the main truths, like that 80-20 principle, and then the 80-20 of the 20%. So it's like that 4% of things that really matter that you have to do over and over again to get the results you want. So to me, that's not what a lot of people want to hear, but I don't really care. I want to teach people what they actually need, not just like that get-rich-quick want, you know? Because then I know they're going to actually create the life they truly want versus maybe make a couple quick bucks and then end up in the same shitty place again.
Well, you're doing great work. And guys, if you're looking for any of those links or resources, those will be in the show notes at dannycarlson.co/podcast. And if you haven't already, go leave a review for the podcast. It's a fairly new podcast. Always appreciate every single review that I see. Puts a big smile on my face. Unless it's not 5 stars, then I cry myself to sleep. And my ego is really hurt. It's really, really hurt by that. But really appreciate it, guys. And definitely go check out Gavin's stuff. And until next time, go kick some ass.
Thanks for joining us on the Danny Carlson Podcast. For resources mentioned in this episode, visit dannycarlson.co.